something, some kind of advice. She's all, you know what I mean, trying to tell him how to handle his business. Hey, mom, lady, get out from between your son. I'm talking to somebody, because God told me before I left home, you need to emphasize this. Get out from between your son and your son's wife, hallelujah, and pray and let them work out whatever they need to work out. You had the opportunity all of his life before he got married to instill whatever it is you needed to instill in him. Glory to God. And so now you need to get out the way and let God do whatever he needs to do with what you have given him throughout his life. Praise God. Now, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do while he was growing up, and this is not the time for you to try to fix it. This is not the time. It's time for him and his wife to become one. It's time for him and his wife to be come that new creature, hallelujah, that the Bible is speaking of. The two become one flesh. There's a new creation that's coming about. Praise God. There's a new being that's coming about with this union. Praise God. So, mom, get out of the way. Apostle.
Amen. Wisdom there, moms. Get out of the way, because you're in the way. You're going to look just like George Jefferson's mom. Getting on everybody's nerves, wrecking havoc, saying stuff that should not be said.
Everybody don't know.
Well, I'm quite sure most of them, they're watching this in syndication. They're watching reruns. In other words, don't be a nuisance in your son's marriage, or if it's your daughter, you know, you're very protective of your daughter and you're in between her and her husband. In other words, parents, know your place in your children's marriage.
Amen.
That means you hear both sides. If they bring you into it, you still hear both sides and you judge rightly and correctly. Whether you have to judge against your child or not, speak the truth. It's called truth talk.
That might be a trick though, Apostle. And they try to bring you into it. You still need to let go and let God.
Amen. I agree.
Still need to let go and let God. If God is directing that, that's a different story. But 9 times out of 10, we need to stay out.
Amen.
Pray and stay out. Love, support, stay out of, you know, their personal stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know somebody might not agree with that, but it's all good. I'm reading it, what the Bible said. He should cleave to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, how are they going to become one flesh if you in the middle of their business? It cannot happen.
And also, since you went there, Pastor, our husbands, your wife comes, I know I'm finna hit a sore spot, before your mother.
Oh,
I know,
really?
She birthed you. I know she nourished you. I know she raised you. I know she bought you all those clothes and shoes and Christmas gifts. But when you say, I do, I will, I try, your wife comes before your mother.
That's a part of your vows. Forsaking all others.
I think a lot of people read the vows because it's ceremonial. Mm-hmm. They don't really investigate them. They don't really take them to heart, yeah, as they should.
We said earlier, marriage is not to be taken lightly.
They take one part
not to be approached casually
when it comes to saying obey. Oh, then you got the attention.
Yeah, when you get, amen, to the obey, yeah, and obey. Amen. But we should know that's a voluntary, right, obey, because your heart is there. Praise God. But we got just a few more minutes. And so earlier you were talking about some of the reasons that people get married that aren't quite the right reasons. Praise God. And I have some here where I've seen in the times that we've been dealing with couples. The first one is envy, like you were saying. Everybody else is getting married. Mm-hmm. What about me? So, you know, you want to stay in the group. You want to stay in popularity with everybody else. So you want to go and get married just for that reason. That is the wrong reason to be getting married. Some folk, I see they get married for conscience sake. They know, they've been taught, they know that they shouldn't live together or whatever without being married. So they go and get married for that reason. And then, of course, for lust's sake, they want to feed their flesh just to be sexually active. Praise God. But that's not the reason to get married either. Loneliness, just because you're alone and you feel like you need companionship, that's not the reason. That's not a good reason to get married. Pressure.
Yes.
Pressure. A lot of people. That was one of the reasons that I state in the book that I've written, that I got married. I felt pressure to get married because of the situation that I was in. I had become pregnant without being married, and so I felt the pressure to get married just because of that. Praise God. But God forgives our bad choices. He forgives our mistakes, and we don't have to get married just because that type of mistake has been made. And so personally, I can say that was not a good reason to get married. Amen. Some people I can see here that just for revenge, your ex-boyfriend's getting married, so you go out and get you somebody. I'm gonna show them, or my ex-girlfriend, I'm gonna show them they're not gonna outdo me. They're having a big wedding. I'm gonna have a big wedding too, and that's not the reason. That's not a good reason to get married. And just like I was saying, I had a child already before I got married. That's not a reason to jump into marriage. Praise God. But I want to say the best reason, the number one reason to get married is that it is God initiated.
Amen.
Because of what the Word says. The Word says that God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet, not mate, meet, M-E-E-T. That word meet means suitable. That word meet means fit for him. All the animals were there, and there was none that would suit Adam, as he named all those animals that God brought him. But I just want to say that the best reason, I'll venture as far to say the only reason we really should be getting married is that it's God initiated. Amen. Is that it's God's will. I'm gonna let you share. We only got a couple more minutes.
I just want to add, ladies, y'all should thank Adam that thank he didn't Adam. Find a helpmate that he found suitable. So God had to make one for him. That means you are special. God had to create someone especially just for Adam. So ladies, queens, when your king comes and he finds you, know that God made that king. He made that man just for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He compliments you.
Yes.
He compliments
yes.
you.
Yes.
You compliment him. Amen. I thank God for it. Just want to share those last the last things we want to say in these last couple of minutes is that we spoke about four principles or elements that's inside of Ephesians 5, 20 through 31. Amen. Submission, love, unity, and respect. These are the four things that will cause your marriage to be successful. Through submission, unity comes. With unity, love grows. And as love grows, genuine respect is exhibited. And so these four things will give you a successful marriage and bring you into that unity, that oneness in agreement, that oneness in power, that oneness in authority, that oneness in faith, and ultimately victory, praise God, comes in that marriage, praise God. And so, and that's what God wants for us as being in married, the institution of marriage. He wants victory. He wants us to walk uprightly and represent the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church like it ought to be represented. Praise God. Amen. And so, amen. We've wrapped that up, and we thank God for what he's given us to share on the truths of marriage. And we want to let you know that today is another day of miracles. And God bless you.
Father, right now, I need your saturation.
I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power when pressure comes. I must soak up your spirit like a sponge to release your power.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the
for living the good life right here in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be with you today, as we always are on this Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. That's our slot, and we're usually here. However, last week, we were not. Pastor Jim, we were not, were we?
No, we were not, unfortunately.
We did a rerun, which is maybe once or twice a year we ever do a rerun. It was a rerun because I was gone in Mexico. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. Who's on the line with us? Is it Betty or is it Megan?
It's Meg. Hey, you two.
Hi, you. Hey, how are ya?
I'm fabulous. How's my two favorite people?
Oh,
aren't you sweet?
I thought I thought that her mother was her favorite. I'm glad to hear that. That's really good news.
Well, there's a lot of favorites. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say her mama may not like that.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't. Megan Kramer from Grand Rapids, Michigan, daughter of Betty and Joe Thomas, and wonderful, wonderful radio show contributor. And we love you so much, Meg. And
love you guys too.
Last summer, you were down here with your hubby Ben and the kids, and that was wonderful. I hope you come back again soon, whenever that might be.
We're trying to plan it. We're thinking about it.
Great.
We are.
Fantastic. You know that is my Rav is always waiting on you. And
well, you're the best.
So, Megan, I was in Mexico for 10 days, and I tell you what, it was powerful. The best trip, and I've had, that's my third trip, and it was by far the best, and the one most anointed and most filled with ministry. And I will be talking a little bit about that in the show today, of things that God did. We're very excited about what's going on in our ministry in Puebla, Mexico. For those of you who don't know anything about Puebla, it is 68 miles southeast of Mexico City, if you can visualize that. Fairly close to Guatemala. And it is beautiful and perfection in climate. 7,300 feet above sea level, which puts it pretty much up there close to Pikes Peak. Isn't Pikes Peak, Jim, like 99 something? Or
it's up there somewhere. I'm not quite sure. It's in
the 9,000s. Yeah, so this is 7,300. So what that means is that it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And it is get up in the morning, 45, and by mid-afternoon, it's maybe 65, 66. So a blue sky, beautiful, rainy days once in a while, none while I was there at all. So perfection every single day, and you can't beat it. And it sits at the base of three volcanoes, but one in particular, and that is called the Popo something. It's got a whole lot of other letters after Popo that's hard to pronounce, so everybody just calls it the Popo. It's an active volcano, actively spewing every day smoke, sometimes kind of big old bolts of like lightning. It's bizarre. Sometimes ash, but the whole time I was there, it was just smoke. And then the other two volcanoes are not active. And so anyway, it's an absolutely gorgeous place. So if you find it on your map, you can find out Puebla, Mexico. And we have a ministry there, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're excited about it. We're going to tell you more about it today on the show. And we're also going to tell you a whole lot about the goodness of God. And how faithful he is, and how true he is to his word and his promises. And we're going to talk about the amazing nature of God, which is goodness and favor and love and mercy and kindness. We're going to talk a lot about all that. So we're glad you've joined us today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along today is my associate pastor, the amazing, the wonderful, the dependable, the faithful, fun Pastor Jim Ellsbury.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. Megan Kramer, we just introduced you up in Grand Rapids. Megan, what is it you want to say about Pastor Jim? I think you should say something about Pastor Jim today.
Oh, I would love to say something about Pastor Jim. You know, he is I look up to him because he is a fountain of knowledge.
Woo, he is.
With the Bible and with history.
Yes.
And he's full of compassion and love and joy. And the guy likes to sing, and that is somebody after my heart because I like to sing too. And I just love Pastor Jim. Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I'm gone and out of town, he takes the church and usually the show. But we couldn't do that last week, so we used to rerun. But you're so Wednesday night Bible study, you and Dr. Angel Jim, you guys are doing a great job on that. Tell everybody what we're doing right now. We just started a new series last Wednesday night.
Yes, we did. We started a series on the book of Philippians. So last week we covered the history of that particular church, the church at Philippi. why Paul wrote the letter, and we covered chapter one. So this week we're going to be in chapter two of Philippians.
Yeah, looking forward to it. That's a great chapter. Oh, I love it. That'll be you and me, and not Angels out of town. Mm-hmm. So let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in our ministry, but especially in our individual lives. And Lord, what you are doing through this show week after week, all these almost 13 years. Lord, you get the glory and the praise for making this possible week after week. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that today that as we share your word and as we share our experiences and what God is saying to us, that you will touch hearts. Amen. With these revelations and all that you are doing, God, we give you the glory and the praise. You are amazing, mighty God. We praise you and thank you for this time together. Woo, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to start with an unusual song by Casting Crowns, Spirit Wind. Cool song.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. He stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form, and as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. The risen warriors will battle again, but they have been filled with the Spirit wind. Oh, 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 oh. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives. He wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. This time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley, and breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again a mighty army, for soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit wind. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Holy Spirit, breathe on me, breathe your life in me. Holy Spirit, breathe on.
Oh, that is what we need, a breath of life today, a fresh breath of life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in each of us today. And we are thanking God for this ability to be on the air today, share God's word with you. I got to say, we're pretty fired up. Hope that's okay, audience. We're pretty fired up because God is doing some amazing things, not just here in our ministry, but also in Puebla, Mexico. And we're excited about everything God's doing. This whole series has been entitled Developing Trust, and there's a whole lot of times that we go through very hard moments, very hard, sometimes months, sometimes even it extends past a year of really difficult times, Pastor Jim, and it's this ability to really have a trust and a foundation in God that sees us through those hard times. Hard times, they happen. They just happen. Consider it all joy, right?
Right.
James 1, 2, consider it all joy when you encounter tests or trials of any kind, knowing that the proving of your faith produces patience, endurance, all these other things, right?
Exactly. And David went through some tough times. I mean,
he sure did.
After he was anointed king by Samuel, life just did not get real good, real easy for
him. It got worse.
Well, yeah, I mean, he fought and slew Goliath, which brought him to King Saul's attention.
Right.
And he was such a good commander, David was. You know, they made up that little song, "Oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s."
And what did that do in King Saul?
Well, King Saul got very jealous and pursued David continually, tried to kill him, what, 21 times, something like that?
21 times.
The only good thing that happened is David had made a covenant with Saul's son, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Jonathan said, "I know you're supposed," based, I'm paraphrasing, "but I know you're going to be the real king. I know God's anointed you. So here, I'll give you everything." He gave him his armor and everything. Basically, he just turned the kingdom over to David because it should have gone to Jonathan.
To Jonathan, yeah.
And Saul just kept getting worse and worse.
Right.
And even after David spared Saul's life twice,
right,
Saul still pursued him.
Oh, he was in a vengeance. It was jealousy. It was envy. It was all that.
And after, and this may be getting a little off track, but it just came to mind, Saul lost his trust in the Lord because
yes, he did.
You know, when he was afraid of the people,
right,
he begged Samuel to go with him after Samuel had rebuked him. Because what will the people think? And it just got worse after that.
Yeah.
Finally, I mean, I was just kind of looking at a couple of chapters before where we were at. He summoned the Witch of Endor.
Yeah. He got into witchcraft.
Because he finally, well, what did Samuel say? Almost prophetically, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Absolutely.
And here's Samuel, because he wouldn't trust in the Lord, and the Lord had just stopped giving him signs.
Saul.
Saul turned to a medium.
Right. He went to the occult.
Yeah.
And guys, that is, don't do that. That is so prohibited in the scripture, Deuteronomy. And it's also, I've heard people say, and I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago about witchcraft and psychics and all that. I've heard people say, but they're right. They've been right. No. There can be a moment of truth or whatever. But in the long run, no, they are not right, and the devil is the inspirer of all of that. So stay away from it. So, Megan, when we talk about these Bible characters, that they just help us realize so much about our own circumstances, don't you think, Meg?
Oh, I agree. You know, because, yes, you know, way back when, they faced way different circumstances than we do currently, because it's a totally different era of time. But we can look back and see that through all of David's Psalms, you know, the trust, the letting go of what you are seeking out of this life, and learning to rely on the Lord instead of your own wit, and exactly, seeing where God takes someone, and seeing the favor that they receive, and the grace and the mercy that they receive through all of those horrible things that David went through, and all of the other people that are in the Bible. It just, even though that the stories are old, it still today comes to life and can be taken and used to see for ourselves.
Absolutely.
For the things that we go through now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And because we go through so much and so often we feel like there's no answer, we're going to start with Proverbs 3:5, where we were a couple weeks ago. And we're going to just remind all of us, Proverbs was written by David's son, Solomon, that wise, wise man. And so David passed this truth down to his son, which comes out so much in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5, trust God, King Solomon says, from the bottom of your heart. I've been talking a lot about our hearts last week in Mexico and then today. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. I'm in the Message Bible. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. And then it says your body will glow with health. Oh, my. Now, I take vitamins every day, and I think that's a good, healthy thing to do. But I also try my best every day to take in the Word of God, because it says right here, when we trust God, our body's going to glow with health. Our bones will vibrate with life. And honor God with your money, with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. And as we are talking about this subject today on trusting God, there we are going to talk about some circumstances that happened to David that made it very clear that he was in trouble. He had a whole lot going on that was, wasn't working out well. You know what? We all have those times. Megan, talk to us about that. Life is not perfect, is it? You want to amplify on that, Meg?
No, it's not perfect. You know, just with me, the last couple of weeks, it's work. I deliver groceries for a company up here in Grand Rapids, and it's just been kind of a valley. It's been kind of quiet, you know. There's not been a lot going on, and there, you know, boredom can tend to set in when that arises. And it's like, okay, Lord, okay, I need a sign that, you know, that good things are still coming from me doing this work for you. Mm-hmm. And make a long story short, I had a lady that's a door greeter that told me that they had found a lump of cancer in her breast, and she was scared that her time was coming. And I told her, I said, I don't believe so. I said, I'm going to send up prayers. And I asked Mom to send a prayer through the prayer ministry through Beacon of Hope.
Right.
And 5 days later, she pulls me aside and says, I didn't tell you, did I? And I go, what? And she said, the little cells that they found on the scale of cancer ratings is a zero, which means
that's pretty
it
clear.
Didn't exist.
Whoa.
And just in that moment, it's like, okay, Father, we're not in a valley. There's still a purpose here, and there's still people to reach.
Amen.
And so even though, and David faced valleys too, guys.
Oh, I yes.
It's all in the Word. But yes. We don't, even when the valleys get boring, we still need to be reminded of those little things.
Yes.
Just like I was. That the Lord is moving.
Oh, amen.
Always moving.
Always moving. We're in Proverbs 3 if you're just joining us. Look at verses 25 and 26. 25 and 26 of Proverbs 3. David says this through the pen of Solomon, things that he had taught his son. No need to panic over alarms or surprises. This is the Message Bible. No need to panic over alarms or surprises. Don't we always panic? That just like that story with you, Megan. That friend, I mean, she's panicking because they found a lump. And so that's our natural first reaction, right? It says, no need to panic over alarms or surprises or predictions that doomsday is just around the corner. Because God will be right there with you. He'll keep you safe and sound. That simple, Pastor Jim.
That is very
God's
simple.
Right there. He'll be with you.
And I like that because I've had to correct Christians. And I mean, I know they're saved, but it's like it's so easy to get, oh, this is happening. This is happening. That's happening. The world's coming to an end. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. All right. Who's in control?
That's right.
Who's in control? And I like this because it says, Have no fear, for the Lord will be at your side and keep your foot from being snared.
Woo!
You know, in Psalm 91, he'll give his angel.
Yes.
You know, I think it was this morning. Ooh, coronavirus!
Right.
Okay. No, Psalm 91. No pestilence.
Keep your foot from being snared.
Right.
Yeah, two people were sitting beside me on the plane coming from Houston to Tampa on Wednesday, and they both had on masks. And I thought, okay, they're either being cautious or they're sick. One or the other, but I'm not going to worry about it because God's got it. He's got me. You know, I'm in the palm of his hand. And from these last couple weeks with Mexico, I saw his hand over and over again. I'll talk more about that. But I read that again in that. What translation are you in today, PJ?
New International.
Okay, read that. We are in Proverbs 3, 25 and 26.
Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared.
Mm. About, 6 weeks ago, a very good friend of mine in Texas, she had all these bumps come up all over her body. I mean, they were lumps. They weren't little tiny things. They were lumps all over her body. She called me scared, and I said, okay, we're going to pray about this because whatever this is, you're not dying. You know, she and her husband are kind of extra grandparents to my two grandsons in Texas, and they're a part of our family, and she believes, and we started praying. We believe. Long story short, she went through some very scary tests and days and worry, but the end of it was fine, and they went away, and she's okay. And you know, there's so many times I think that we have those periods of time in between, Meg, where from the minute the bad news comes until the minute the good news comes, we are up and down. We are sometimes all over the place. Sometimes we're up all night because we can't sleep and we're worried. That's called fear. We're in fear. Megan?
Yes, ma'am. And fear is very controlling. Fear,
oh, yeah.
Fear steals your peace.
Sure does.
And I've been there. We've all been there. And we have people right now that are there, that fear is controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the devil. It's one of the devil's snares. That's right where he wants you.
Absolutely.
Once your mind off of God and focused on the worst possible outcome that you could ever fathom.
Well, what do you do about that for those in our audience that don't know what to do about it? What do you do?
Woo, you pray. You give it to God. You hit your knees. You praise him through the storm. And I mean, I'm not trying to sound silly, because yes, that's a song, but that's taken from scripture.
Yes.
That we praise him during the storm, because that's where we are. Even though that you might feel like that you can't find any joy, I'm going to tell you what, surrendering and praising him, even though it's hard, I guarantee you, I'm speaking from experience, and I know you guys have experienced it too, is where you'll find your greatest joy and your greatest peace. Mm-hmm. And it's a place that David went a lot.
He did.
When he was faced with trials, he went to God. He didn't go to his BFF. He didn't go to, you know, he didn't go to his wife. He went directly to the Father because he knew that he wouldn't find solace in anyone else.
Well, and that's so true. And why is that the truth? Because, Megan, I mean, people say, oh, no, you should put your confidence in doctors. And yes, you should. I mean, doctors, nothing wrong with doctors. I was married to one. I understand. Medicine is fine. We do not tell people they can't go to doctors or have tests or have surgeries or anything like that. We don't believe that. But why should God be our first and most important source, Megan, when it comes to any type of these life crises that we all go through from time to time?
Because Pastor, he knows the outcome. He controls the outcome. He controls every little detail of our life. So if we know that we're in great hands, there are no greater hands to be in, that's where we go, because that's where the trust lies.
Yes,
and it's that relationship that you guys have been talking about on the air too, that we form that relationship with him. And we lean, when times get harder, we don't pull away, we want to lean in. We want more peace, more mercy, more grace. We want more calm during the storm. We don't want to stand out in the water alone. We want to be safe.
I totally agree. And would you explain leaning in to our audience what it means to lean in?
Sure. I'll just talk about Grayson for a minute, because that's one of the hardest things that I've ever faced since I've been on this earth, is that when I didn't know what was going to happen, when I didn't know if my son was going to live or die, and this is probably not going to sound right to people if they don't understand the relationship with the father, is that it didn't matter whether he was going to live or survive, because I knew that my trust had to lie with God.
Right.
That my trust had to lie on him. And the night that we got delivered that news was the night that I hit the floor, the hardest I ever have in my entire life. But it was letting go of the fear and letting the devil know that even though that a warrior was hurting, that warrior was not going to completely fall because her father had a hold of her.
Praise God.
And he has a hold of every single one of us.
Exactly.
You know, no matter where we are right now in our life, he's still right there. And
amen.
So that leaning in is just, an actual visual would be like he's sitting in a huge recliner and you're a kid at the bottom of his feet just clinging on for dear life. Mm. Because you're just wanting to pull just a little bit more strength from him than you've ever gotten before. But it doesn't mean you're down. It just means you're letting him take over.
Right.
Wow. Wow. Megan, that is fantastic. And for our audience, Megan and her husband Ben did lose Grayson at 33 hours of life. Lungs had never really developed. And that was probably one of the, if not the hardest thing I would imagine for you or anybody else to go through, Megan, losing a child.
Oh, yes, ma'am. But, you know, during service last week at church, I got that vision of me on the floor. But it was just the Lord letting me know that no matter how far I feel like that I'm falling, that I can't get any can't go any farther than his feet.
Right.
I can't get any deeper than that.
Good.
I like that.
There's no place better to be, folks.
We got to write that down, Jim. No matter how far you fall, you can't get any lower than his feet. Mm-hmm. In other words, you hang on to him, because that's the essence of this whole series, developing trust. The whole goal of this series is to teach and remind ourselves of the importance of hanging on to God no matter what it looks like. No matter what I feel or see, the Word is working mightily in me, because it's the
Amen.
Word that does the work. Jim, you want to comment on this before we go to the song?
Well, yeah, and I was thinking, you know, when you're fearful, there's the command, do not fear, is in the Bible 365 times.
Exactly.
One thing that helps me is a scripture or a praise song. But, you know, find a scripture. What am I fearful of? Poverty, sickness, whatever it is, there's a promise in the Word for that. And it's like you hold on to the Word, you confess it. Because that's our sword.
Exactly.
That's our sword. And
yes.
Satan can't stand when we start wielding the sword of the Word.
Oh, not at all. Woo! Listen to this song. I Just Need You, Toby Mac. And yes, we need him. We need him so very much.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up. Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope.
I just need you. walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. Cause all I know is you're my only hope.
Song. The words just fit right here, mm-hmm. And I haven't even played that song on the air. Go ahead, PJ. Don't you feel like that really said what we were talking about?
Exactly, exactly. Lord, I need you when I'm up, when I'm down. You know, we need him, the old hymn, I need thee every hour. We need him all the time, because when we need him in the good times is when we're going to submit to him and, as Megan had said, get at his feet.
Yes.
In the rough times.
Right.
I mean, that makes sense, I hope. You see what I'm saying is,
yeah,
we train ourselves to be near him in the good times so that, yeah, when the storms break, and they will break, we have trained ourselves to come to God.
To come to God. Yes.
And that'll become our natural response.
Well, just like a mother or a father, when their children are real little, preschool, when they get hurt, they fall down, they run to mommy, daddy, and they pick them up and they hold them. Megan, you want to go with that? Go ahead with that metaphor. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah, they do, because that's a source of comfort. Because we've been there before. When a situation has been upsetting, they learn that that person is their comforter, that person gives them peace, that person helps them feel safe. And that's the way that we should be relating to God, is that he is our father, duh, but that he is that person of solace, that person of peace, and that person that can help feel that hurt when you're hurting. And Pastor Jim, what you said makes perfect sense, because we do. We need to be in training, even when we're on the hill, or whether we're in the valley, or whether we're in the dry desert.
Right.
We need to know where to go.
Yes.
And that's through speaking of the life of David, it's a prime example of what he did. He leaned in.
He leaned in
to his father. Yes.
You know, along with that, another metaphor that goes right along with this is I just had my 13th grandbaby, right? Which we're very excited about. And when I visit my kids in Texas or Indiana, and there's like five under the age of five now, It's like they are used to every day having mommy and daddy right there to run to them when they get hurt or whatever. Nana comes in, that's me, Nana Florida. And of course, if I'm babysitting, that's different. But generally speaking, when I'm there, they're one of their parents is there. They are going to run to that parent before they're going to run to me. You know what I'm saying? Because that parent's with them all the time. Their parents with them all the time. Nana comes to visit. And now it's different if I'm babysitting, mom and dad are gone. You want to go with that, Megan? You want to run with that whole idea?
Sure. You know, it's not that Nana Florida can't provide the same comfort. It's just there's more of a history there, with mom and dad.
Oh,
you know
very good. Very good. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that history is what we need to build our foundation on with God.
Yes.
That we are constantly deepening that that solace. We're constantly deepening that relationship, that when a situation comes our way, that we know where to run. Just like
right.
a toddler does or a kid
yes.
does. They run to their mom and dad. We're learning where to go.
You're exactly
it's
right.
It's a daily thing. A daily thing of practicing
and you,
who we lean into.
And it should be a daily thing, Megan. If we go a few days and we haven't been thinking about God or we haven't been talking to him or we have just not bothered to read even a scripture or even sing a song, what happens to us, Jim? What happens to us?
Oy vey.
Okay. All right. That's what happens to us.
Well, I just yesterday read Exodus about the manna.
Yeah.
And that's how the Israelites got their sustenance.
Yes.
Daily. I mean, they collected a double portion on Friday so they could stretch through the Sabbath, but you had to go out and get it every day.
You had to get it every day.
Otherwise, it just turned into worms. So
I don't like eating worms.
No, me neither. But it's the same thing here. And, of course, Jesus, using that, you know, quoted in Deuteronomy, I did this, God said, show you that man does not live by bread alone, but
Amen.
By every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Amen.
We have to have that daily sustenance. Just like the Israelites gathered manna every day, we have to gather the bread of life, Jesus, every day to strengthen us.
That's how you develop trust. It's that relationship, right?
Well, it's prayer, reading the word.
Yes.
It's fellowship.
Yes.
How else do you get to know somebody unless you spend time with them? And as our trust grows, we know we can depend on God all the time. Good times, bad times, we can depend on God to be there with us. And, you know, no matter what it looks like on the outside, there's promises we can hold on to that, you know what, I'm going to make it through this. This is, God's going to turn this around for me.
Yes.
You know, all
yes.
those. And if you don't have that fellowship with him, and if you don't get in the word, A, you're not going to know the promises, and B, you're not going to know the God who backs them up.
Oh, amen.
And that's the important thing. I mean, you can know every promise in the Bible, but if you don't know the God who backs them up,
right.
You can say them as much as you want, but if there's no faith, no trust in the God behind them,
right.
They're no good.
Well, you go put money in a bank, you trust that the bank has your money, that when you're ready to go write a check and withdraw it, it's going to be there, right?
Right.
It's the same thing with God. You put your trust in him. We're going to Psalm 13 for a moment. This is the Psalm of David. David said, "Long enough, God." Again, I'm in the Message Bible today. "You've ignored me long enough." How many of you have felt that way from time to time? I have. I've had times in my life where I thought, "God, you are not listening. Are you hearing me?" I can even remember times, Megan, where I've yelled, "God, are you hearing me? Here I am." You know, have you ever felt that way, Meg?
Oh, yes. Yep. I have a lot of those moments in the car. It's like, "Hey, I'm down here talking to you. Where'd you go?
Like,
"I'm right here."
I hear you. The second verse, Psalm 13, if you just joined us, "I've looked at the back of your head long enough." I love that. It's like when you're riding in the back of the car, but you're clear in the back, the third seat, and the driver just doesn't seem to be hearing you at all, and you're sitting there looking at the back of his head. Has that ever happened to you? It has to me as a child.
I pictured a station wagon.
Station wagon. "I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough, I've carried this ton of trouble. Lived with a stomach full of pain." Long enough, my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God. My God, I want to look life in the eye. So no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. Verse 5, Psalm 13. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. Woo! Megan, talk to us about Psalm 13. Only six little verses, but life-changing, I believe.
Amen. You know, it's those are powerful words full of joy. Is that, you know, even though that somebody may have knocked you down, you've got the power and the knowledge to come back even stronger than before.
Amen.
Because, number one, you're a child of the King. And children of the King don't wallow in self-pity. We stand and rise and we fight. And that's what David was a fighter.
Amen.
And he knew his birthright. That's what I'm going to say. He knew his birthright, that he was a child of the King, that his life was to be victorious, but he knew that it was going to be full of pitfalls. We are going to have pitfalls in our lives. But through those little bits of scripture, just what was that? Three little lines out of that first scripture?
Yeah.
That should be your, somebody tomorrow or right now needs to claim that scripture over their life.
Exactly.
Right now.
Right.
Those are powerful enemy fighting words that will send the devil run in the opposite direction when you speak those words out of your mouth.
Amen.
Those are powerful.
We're going right back to Psalm 13 in a minute. Pastor Jim, if you will come into the studio. I'm in the control room. He's in there. You're hearing the sound I'm hearing.
The beeping?
Yeah, I just figured it out. It's one of these alarm clocks in the lobby. If you will run in there and figure out which one it is and shut it off, that would be great. It's driving PJ and I nuts. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Jim. So, Megan, I find it so interesting that David, Jesus came through the line of David. David himself struggled with wondering why God was not answering his prayers. You know? Talk to us about that.
And, you know, even though I think during those moments of silence, it's a teaching opportunity for us.
Yes.
That even though that the Almighty is quiet,
right,
that doesn't mean that we have to be.
Right.
That doesn't mean that we have to sit down and go, oh, well, I'm not hearing anything, so I'm just going to sit down here and build a sandcastle.
Right.
And just ignore what's going on around me.
Exactly.
No. Nope. Warrior, stand. Continue to fight.
Right.
Continue to praise. Continue to pray. And continue to read your word.
Exactly.
Because that's what David did. You want to talk about a prime example of somebody that fought and fought hard? It's David.
Right.
I mean, not only is it an amazing bloodline to come from that Jesus came from,
right,
but a fine line of a warrior.
Yes.
And a true testament to how we need to walk in our daily life, that we're not going to sit down and just take another hit over the head. We're going to stand and we're going to knock the enemy off of his feet, because we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so, you know, don't wallow in self-pity. Stand and rise in those times of silence. And that's where I really think that, and during those times of silence, that's where I get stronger in my faith.
Because
it's like, okay, Lord, I know that, you know, that I'm not really hearing anything right now, but I'm going to show you, Father, that I have the utmost trust and the utmost faith in you, because I know you know what you're doing. Because every single time that he's ever come through, and it's the same way with you and PJ, that every time he's come through for us, yeah, it may not be in the right timing that we feel fit, but we always come out victorious.
We do. Oh, Lord, by Lauren Daigle.
Those times it seems like this world can often feel lonely. No matter what, until this race is won, I will stand my ground where hope can be found. I will stand my ground where hope can be found.
Where hope can be found. And then later on, your love is lifting me above all the lies, because it's the lies of the enemy that get to us, Megan. It's the lies. The devil says, you're never going to come out of this. You are going to die of this. You are going to this. This awful thing's going to happen to you. The lies of the enemy. Such a liar. Jesus said, Jesus said he's the liar and the father of lies. John chapter 8, right? Didn't he say that? I mean, yeah, he did. Megan, do you have a comment? Do you have a comment on The Liar or that song, Lauren Daigle? You like
that song? I do. I love that song. I love Lauren Daigle.
I do, too.
You know, it went right along with what we were talking about leading up to that song.
It did.
Stand Your Ground.
Guess what?
Just
that
like
wasn't
David
the
did.
Song I was going to play, and I picked up
the thing, girl.
And God said, play the Lauren Daigle song, and that is exactly right. That's exactly what it was.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Sure is. And that's exactly what we were talking about, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works, is because he's trying to tell you that don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies that come out of people's mouth about you. You listen to what your father says about you, that you were created in his perfect image. And that's
Amen.
Exactly what you are. You are heaven-made perfection, no matter what anybody says about you. I can tell you that right now.
And we don't feel like perfection sometimes, do we, Meg? We do not feel like perfection. Pastor Jim may, but I don't, and I know you don't, Megan.
Oh, I don't
either. No, ma'am.
He doesn't either, he's saying. He's admitting that. Go ahead, PJ.
Well, yeah, and I think sometimes the devil can use that. I just don't feel worthy to come into God's presence. Maybe if I let's say we sin or something, and why not, speak for me. You know, if I really mess up, it's like, okay, I just won't talk to God for a while, and maybe that'll take care of it. When in my heart, I know better. You know, I know if I sin, I just need to confess it. But there's still times when we think we can't do that. And yet all through the New Testament, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Jesus was tested he's fully human like us, tested in every way we are, yet without sin. But because he was tested, he can be that great, faithful high priest because he's been there. You know, and I think sometimes people don't want to believe that. Well, Jesus, you know, he was God. Well, but he was also human. And that's why he can intercede for us before the Father, because he's been there. He felt Amen. These things. He yes. knows these
yes.
things.
Yes, he does. And so good to know we have that faithful high priest that has been there and can understand, sympathize with our weaknesses, mm-hmm. it says in Hebrews, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and because and you say, well, what does this have to do with trust? We can trust God that he will take care of that issue, whatever's bothering you. And in the meantime, he's not going to be putting you down. Right. He's not going to be making you feel guilty. That's the devil. He's not going to make you feel less than. That's the devil. He's not going to say, you creep, how could you possibly do that? That's the devil. We got to trust God and his nature. And the first way to trust God is get to know the nature of God. God is love. 1 John, great book, 5 chapters to help you understand the nature of God. Written by John, the one that sat the closest to Jesus and was so knew the heart of God. And he wrote 1 John, and it's full of God is love, right? Greater is he that's in me. 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. In other words, no matter what you got going on, the God in you, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, is stronger than anything the devil can throw at you. That's a big old amen.
Amen.
Woo!